We are recapping week 12, helping you find a new tight end, unfortunately, on the Fantasy Football Today podcast. And this episode is supported by Stamps.com, where you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer and printer. For a four-week trial, a special $110 bonus offer, go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone, enter the promo code FFT. Oh, welcome back from Thanksgiving here on this Monday morning. I'm happy to have Heath and Nick here. I want to know, how was your Thanksgiving, guys? Tell me everything.
Well, I can tell you two things. Okay. I got to watch Calvin Johnson, so that was great.
Ooh, it took him less than a minute.
And I didn't bet on the Cowboys, so that was pretty awesome, too.
That was a fantastic segue for Heath there, because the Cowboys were my favorite bet of the year. Actually, probably the millennium, the last 15 years, I would say. That obviously did not go well, but I did win my fantasy matchups yesterday. Adam, I did come in on Friday, and there was no corn souffle waiting for me, though. And I did check every single refrigerator in the kitchen. I was very upset. I almost sent you an angry text, but I decided against it.
I felt really bad.
No, you didn't.
I did.
You didn't feel bad.
I talked about it on the Friday podcast. I forgot about it on Thursday. And then when I woke up on Friday morning, I was kind of in a rush to get to the office. And I was like, I just don't care quite enough to,
He said, I care. I felt sorry. And I said, you don't care. And then he just admitted he didn't care.
Right.
I don't know if people on this podcast even know what we're talking about, because I keep forgetting which podcast we talked about it, but I was going to bring you some of the leftovers.
The corn souffle.
Yeah, and I apologize, but
there were no leftovers on Thanksgiving because Calvin Johnson ate them all.
Johnson is good. I know that Heath wants to talk about Calvin Johnson, so here's what we're going to do. A little bit of a different show today. Send us your emails, by the way, at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Heath Cummings Senior SR, at Heath Cummings SR, at The Kostos, THEKAOSTOS. Did I really have to spell the?
No, that was nowhere close. You should do his again.
If you'll allow me, THEKOSTOS.
There you go. And I'm at Adam Azer, AIZER. Well, we're not going to do winners and losers. We will do one MVP, but we're going to look at the top players at each position this fantasy week and some replacements at tight end, go through the news. A lot of injuries on the defensive side of the ball. We'll see what we can get to there and go through the games. So, week 12 MVP. Boy, I was really surprised when Heath replied Calvin Johnson was his MVP. So, beat your chest, my friend.
Well, I don't think I need to beat my chest. I love touchdown regression. And sometimes what I love the most, because I understand that when you call for regression, especially in an NFL season, you may not get it this year. The sample size is not big enough. But it just so happened that this time we talked about Calvin Johnson was having a good year in terms of receptions, in terms of yards, and he finally got his touchdowns. And a lot of that was the fact that Matthew Stafford finally just decided, you know what, I have Calvin Johnson on my team. I should probably throw the ball to him in the end zone. And lo and behold, it worked, and they won the game.
You know, the fact that I think that Eric Rowe, Eagles second-round rookie, was for some reason put on an island against Calvin Johnson, that probably helped quite a bit too, I think, in Calvin Megatron's 3-touchdown day.
And I believe now if you look at the year-to-date rankings, Calvin is up to
8.
Wide receiver 8.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He had those 3 touchdowns. He now has 6, and he has really, really nice matchups to end the season. They have a nice schedule. I mean, if you want to talk about Stafford as well. Green Bay this week on a Thursday. You know, it's a Thursday. I don't know how well they'll do. Then at St. Louis, again, it's not great. But week 15 and 16 at New Orleans and home against San Francisco, they could be winning you some fantasy leagues, Stafford and Calvin Johnson. So it was good to see. And he had a 25-yard touchdown catch, and that was also good to see because really he had just almost become like a tight end, a glorified tight end.
He'd almost become like he was on pace for 90
catches. Yeah, but here's the thing.
Tight ends do that every year.
Here's the thing.
Like Kellen Winslow Sr.? Like what tight end are we talking
about? No, here's the thing.
Ben Coates?
What I was saying was, you know, the touchdowns were going to come from short range, I felt. Like just – there weren't that many big explosive plays from him. And as I pointed out, lowest yards per catch of his career. But it was good to see him score a 25-yard touchdown. Again, look, I said that you can't sit him and that he should have a big game against the Eagles because they're terrible against number ones. And they're terrible in general. But, I don't know. We just were missing the big plays from him. And, you know, it was encouraging to see at least one in this game. But he still didn't get 100 yards. You know what? Here's the bottom line. I'm a little pissed off that everybody like piled on me for my Calvin Johnson thoughts.
I didn't at all.
You let everyone else do it, Heath. You didn't stick up for me.
Well, why would I stick up for you?
Yeah, why should he stick up for you? You guys disagreed.
We're friends.
We are. And we were friends on Monday, last Monday too.
It doesn't make a deal, but I mean, you could be friends with someone and disagree with them. Like in the way I disagreed with you and you said you cared that you didn't bring the corn souffle and then you admitted that you didn't care. Sort of like that, but we're still friends. Are we?
Yeah, well, of course we're friends. Of course. All right, forget it. I'm just taking it too personally. Calvin Johnson was great and I will leave it at that. And I hope he has a big finish to the season. And that's it. And he's not a tight end. He's a wide receiver. Nick, who's your MVP?
Brandon Marshall was terrific yesterday. And I didn't expect him to have this sort of season, but he's so good. And catching passes from Ryan Fitzpatrick, 9 for 131 and 2 touchdowns, yesterday. And a really nice matchup coming up against the Giants this week. I see no reason why you can't keep rolling Brandon Marshall out as a wide receiver one. I think there were a lot of really good candidates potentially for MVP. But given how well Marshall's played this year, how well he played yesterday, I can look in no other direction but Brandon Marshall for my MVP.
All right, and I went with Philip Rivers, who was a very interesting quarterback going into the week because he had 2 disappointing games in a row. If you look at them, the Chiefs game was bad, but the Chiefs going into this week had been great against quarterbacks. And the game before that was against the Bears. He had a touchdown pass to Antonio Gates called back. That would have given him 23 fantasy points. So what did we get from him? Well, he was only started in 52% of leagues, but Rivers gave you 36 fantasy points against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't think people are going to want to start him this week against Denver.
No.
But after that, it's Kansas City, it's Miami, Oakland in week 16 and 17. That looks really good at Denver in week 17. Miami and Oakland in weeks 15 and 16, Denver in week 17. How much confidence do you guys have in Philip Rivers, who really did take advantage of a good matchup but played great?
Yeah, I really have very little. There are leagues where I'm probably going to have to start him. I don't think he's going to be terrible, but I think this will be the outlier when you're looking at his performance in the second half of the season.
All right.
I'm with Heath here. I mean, you can't start Philip Rivers next week against the Broncos. I mean, this was a nice game yesterday. But again, this is against the Jacksonville Jaguars team that's been up and down all season. He's not going to repeat this performance against the Broncos. Still doesn't have really weapons in the passing attack. It's Antonio Gates, who I think that I might be able to outrun at this point in a 40-yard dash. And basically Stevie Johnson and Dontrell Inman and nobody else. It's a rough situation. Great game yesterday for Philip Rivers. Came through for owners that started him and needed him. But man, you're going to start this guy against the Broncos next week?
No.
I don't think so.
No, but maybe weeks 15 and 16 with the Dolphins at home and the Raiders on the road. You might go that way. How about an LVP? Go ahead, Heath.
Well, I will say that the Broncos defense has been beaten up, and it hasn't been quite as amazing the last month as it was earlier in the year.
Yeah, and they lost 2 guys yesterday, nose tackle and a safety. More on that in a little bit. All right, an LVP could be Drew Brees. 7 fantasy points at the Texans. And here's your tweet of the day. It comes from Mark Crowell. How confident can we really be in Brees' easy playoff schedule if he can't get it done against the Texans?
I think we need to make a designation. We just talked about how the Broncos have not been as good as they were. Well, the Texans have really turned it on defensively over their last 4 games, really. I mean, the first game in that stretch was right before their bye, and I think it was against the Titans, so I don't know if I really want to count that, because we all know you can never count on the Titans for anything.
Absolutely nothing.
But since then, I mean, since the bye, they held Drew Brees to 6 points. They held the Jets to 17. They held Andy Dalton to 6 points. They've given up 35 points in their last 4 games. I thought this defense was good coming into the year. I looked stupid, just dumb, for 2 months.
Remember that game against Miami? They couldn't tackle anybody.
Yeah, I looked like an idiot. And then all of a sudden,
which is nothing new for you, to be
fair.
As
soon as I give up on them, they look amazing. I don't know. Listen, Brees was not good yesterday, and I'm concerned, but I don't think you say he's not going to be good against easy matchups because he was bad against the Texans, because I'm not sure the Texans are an easy matchup anymore.
Yeah, so 4 matchups coming up left in this season, assuming that your season does not end in week 17, which it should not. 3 of those 4 games for Brees at home, and he's been a different quarterback, obviously, in the Superdome this year than he's been on the road. Carolina coming up this week, the Lions at home in week 15, the Jaguars at home in week 16. I think Brees is still viable down the stretch here, but I would only start him if he's at home. I would not look to start him on the road, but if you need him coming up in 2 weeks, it is on the road in Tampa, which on paper is not a terrible matchup. So I'm not ready to bury Drew Brees just yet, because I do think his matchup, his schedule down the stretch, is permissible for fantasy owners.
Let's get to the big news, guys. Rob Gronkowski has a knee injury. We saw it. Oh, what a great game last night, by the way. Wow.
Fantastic.
He's got the Eagles this week. We want him back, but, you know, it doesn't seem like it's as serious as it looked. That's what the reports are indicating. We'll have to wait and see on Gronkowski. Meanwhile, Jimmy Graham is out for the season with a torn patellar tendon in his right knee. If you read Jamie Eisenberg's recap of the week on the website, this is the same. He points out this is the same injury that Victor Cruz had last year. So, you know, we wish Jimmy Graham a good recovery. That's not a good injury to come back from. We'll talk tight end replacements in just a second. Ben Roethlisberger left with a concussion. Now, his symptoms subsided pretty quickly, so we can be a little optimistic about him going into this Colts game on Sunday night. Chris Johnson and Andre Ellington both left with injuries. Is there any question that David Johnson is, if not the most added player, one of the most added players going into next week?
I think you have to add David Johnson. It's a tough matchup coming up. They're going to be at St. Louis against what's sure to be an angry Rams team that's lost a number of games in a row, but David Johnson did get the goal line touchdown yesterday against the 49ers. And it's a high-powered Cardinals offense, or has been high-powered for most of the season. Didn't see fireworks yesterday in the Bay Area. But Heath, man, David Johnson's got to be, if he's not already owned in your league, he needs to be snatched up.
Oh, he absolutely does. I think that 49ers team, we talked about that, the Cardinals weren't very good yesterday offensively. The 49ers defense is like the Saints offense. When they are on the road, the 49ers defense is one of the worst in the league. They're awful. But at home, they haven't been that bad.
Yeah, true.
It's really interesting. And it's something to keep an eye on as you're looking at matchups down the stretch.
All right, more notes. Alan Hearns left with a concussion. And, you know, he's just had a rough go of it lately. So we'll check on him. But that could be good for Julius Thomas if you need a tight end replacement in a shallower league. Tyler Eifert left with a stinger. He does not seem concerned. Neither does Jeremy Hill, who left late in the game with an ankle injury. Hill says he'll be okay. You know what? Something I noticed about Jeremy Hill, this guy does not have one carry of more than 15 yards all year. He's not getting that many carries, but maybe he'll get 15 a game or something like that, but he's not breaking any for more than 15 yards. And last year during the regular season, Jeremy Hill had at least 6 carries of 20 yards or more, including 2 60-yard runs. So it's just like, you know, what do you do at this point with Jeremy Hill, who had a decent game, 16 for 86 against St. Louis, but, again, no explosive plays.
I think we need to put Jeremy Hill and Sammy Watkins in the Fantasy Football Roulette Hall of Fame. Because, I mean, they're going...
Spin the wheel, make a
deal.
Yeah,
spin the wheel. You may get a monster 2-3 touchdown performance, and you may get just nothing.
But Hill did run very well yesterday before he exited with that ankle injury. And next week, you know who the Bengals get? The Cleveland Browns and that horrendous run defense. I'm still on the Jeremy Hill bandwagon. I've been on it all year. I still think that he's a more talented back than Giovanni Bernard. I'm ducking as I say that.
Yeah.
but yeah, no, but I would start personally Jeremy Hill with a modicum of confidence next week, assuming he makes it through the week unscathed in terms of the injury. I still think that he's on the ascent this season and could be a difference maker down the stretch.
Just one word of caution. Hill faced this Cleveland Browns team just about a month ago and ran it 15 times for 52 yards.
That was like 20 words. That was 20 words of caution.
Okay.
No. Yeah, well he took a little liberty there with the caution statement. Cleveland's been a little bit better against the run lately. That's why I kind of want to see what they do tonight against Javorius Allen, but they will be on a short week when they face the Bengals next week. San Francisco tight end Garrett Celek has a high ankle sprain. You're reaching if you need Vance McDonald, but it looks like Blaine Gabbert likes his tight ends.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I like Vance McDonald a little bit. If Celek's not playing next week, going to Chicago against the Bears, I kind of like Vance McDonald. If you need a tight end, like if you're a Gronk owner and you're in a deep league and Gronk doesn't play this week, that could be me in several leagues. So Gronk, please get healthy and please be on the field on Sunday. I think you could do worse than Vance McDonald, if assuming that Celek's not out there.
Yeah, he's caught a touchdown in 2 straight games, so we'll keep an eye on it. Carlos Williams left with a shoulder injury in the first half. Rishard Matthews has a chest injury. He left early in that game, and Devontae Parker stepped up. More on him later. Ahmad Bradshaw hurt his wrist. Devontae Freeman expected back this week at Tampa Bay, and Danny Amendola could be back this week in a great matchup against the Philadelphia Eagles. So, guys, let's talk tight end replacements here. I'm going to give you three groups of tight ends for shallow leagues, you know, medium depth leagues, deep leagues. The following tight ends are owned in 60 to 80% of leagues. You tell me who you want in this group. This is for the Gronk and Graham owners or anybody who needs a tight end. Julius Thomas, Ben Watson, Vernon Davis, Crockett Gilmore.
Oh, Julius, for me, not even close.
I think you almost ranked those. Well, not really. I'd go Thomas, then Gilmore, then Watson, then Davis.
100% agree. Gilmore, yeah. Gilmore seconds. But Julius, undoubtedly first in that group.
I really like, you know, absolutely, Thomas getting more involved. I like Gilmore's next two matchups after tonight, which is not a bad matchup, at Cleveland. But Miami, they're 15th against tight ends, but they've struggled against good ones. And Seattle struggled all year against tight ends.
The thing that worries me with Gilmore is let's see what his usage is like with a new quarterback now. In theory, Schaub should be getting him the ball. But, I mean, who the heck knows? Max Williams could get more involved. Boyle could get more involved. I want to have a wait-and-see approach tonight. New quarterback, see if Matt Schaub looks his way as much as Joe Flacco did.
Next group is 40 to 60% ownership. Quite frankly, guys, I'm not a huge fan of this group. There's someone who's owned in less than 40% of leagues that is going to jump off the page. But this group, 40 to 60% ownership, Eric Ebron, Charles Clay, Richard Rodgers, Zach Miller, Heath Miller, Kobe Fleener, and Kyle Rudolph.
Okay. Rodgers, maybe Rudolph, and maybe Ebron, I could see as matchup-dependent guys, except for the fact that Eric Ebron just faced the best matchup like a week and a half ago and was awful.
They dropped a touchdown in that game.
Yeah.
He's got Green Bay on a short week this week. I think Richard Rodgers is probably a better play than Eric Ebron this week, right?
Yes, Rodgers at the top for me, I think, then Rudolph, then Ebron.
I would go Rudolph, Rodgers, Ebron for this week. I put Rudolph first.
He's
getting a nice amount of volume at this point, and he's starting to round into form as the player that I think a lot of people expected him to be over the last couple of weeks here. And the Vikings are at home against the Seahawks this week. Could be a matchup that sets up well for Rudolph. I would put him at the top of that particular list.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, here we go. Less than 40% owned. Austin Seferian Jenkins. Great matchups coming up. Atlanta.
Is ASJ still in the NFL? Has anyone seen him at any point over the last, 2 months?
Hey, according to reports.
Are you sure he's still alive? I'm worried about him.
According to reports, Nick, he's supposed to play yesterday.
He is,
cool. We need to check the veracity of those reports.
He's been working out with Chris and Michael.
And the abominable snowman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Jameis Winston's been throwing to the tight end quite a lot. So if he plays, Seferian Jenkins has Atlanta, then New Orleans, then St. Louis.
Who wrote that headline? That's the Dewey defeats Truman headline, I think. ASJ will play.
Yeah, exactly. Also, there's Zach Ertz, Ladarius Green, Jacob Tammy, Brent Celek, Vance McDonald, and Will Tye as guys you could target in deeper leagues, I suppose. Any thoughts?
What's the ownership of Demetrius Harris or James O'Shaughnessy?
I don't know.
Okay, well, those are guys listed on the Kansas City Chiefs depth chart behind Travis Kelce. The Chiefs play the Raiders coming up this week.
I was like, where's this?
They gave up another touchdown to a backup tight end this
week. I know, it's crazy.
Can Tony Gonzalez still run?
It's crazy.
Not sure.
All right, listen, an important announcement for everyone, particularly for you small business owners. Why are over 500,000 small businesses using stamps.com? Because it makes your life easier. It makes your business more efficient. Stop going to the post office. Start using stamps.com to buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package. You can do that right from your own computer and printer. It's easy. It's convenient. It keeps you off those long lines at the post office. And it comes with an amazing special offer. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com. Use our promo code FFT for this special offer, a 4-week trial, a $110 bonus offer. You get postage and a digital scale. Go to Stamps.com. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in FFT. That is Stamps.com. Enter FFT. Top five at every position. The top five quarterbacks in week 12 were Matthew Stafford, Russell Wilson, huge game, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Phillip Rivers, and Tyrod Taylor. Nick, when you look at that list, other than, you talked about Brandon Marshall, not Fitzpatrick, excuse me, but Stafford, Wilson, Fitzpatrick, Rivers, and Tyrod Taylor, who do you want to talk about there?
How about Matthew Stafford? he's playing with a ton of confidence, and he's looking like the quarterback he did earlier in his career before Joe Lombardi came in and sabotaged him over the last season and a half in Detroit. Jim Bob Cooter's done a really great job as the new offensive coordinator, and you heard Stafford after the game talking about, basically raving about Jim Bob Cooter's aggressive play calling. So Stafford's looked, he looks really good. He looks like he's playing with confidence. He's being protected a lot better. At home against the Packers in a short week is obviously not the best matchup. But Matthew Stafford at this point, I think, has established himself firmly here as a guy that you can count on if you need him. I'm not sure that I'm ready to put him back in the fantasy elite, a place that he once inhabited. He was once in the fantasy Mount Olympus. No longer there, but I think could be on his way back there. A lot of the changes that happened to Detroit, I think, were a positive for Matthew Stafford.
I think the guy I want to talk about is Russell Wilson. He's somebody 2 weeks ago that we were really down on.
I left him for you, by the way. That's nice of me.
We looked at the numbers and saw that he was on pace for a career high in passing yards. He was on pace for his second best rushing season. And the touchdowns just weren't there. Well, Wilson's got 8 touchdowns in his last 2 weeks. And this was a fantastic matchup against the Steelers. He took advantage of it. And it may be more impressed that he's doing this even after Jimmy Graham got hurt, but through Doug Baldwin. I mean, Doug Baldwin is his number one wide receiver, and he just threw 5 touchdown passes?
Well, yeah, so he's got 8 touchdowns, no picks. You mentioned 8 touchdowns, no picks in his last 2 games. And Heath, he still doesn't have a rushing touchdown.
It's coming.
Yeah, but here's the thing. He's always been a guy that I felt was kind of hard to predict and just inconsistent in terms of fantasy. You know, this was not on paper a great matchup, and he shredded the Steelers. Last week, you know, you could chalk it up to the matchup with San Francisco, but I don't really think I have that much confidence in him this week at Minnesota, or this upcoming week. Then it gets pretty good for him, though, with Baltimore and Cleveland. But what do you guys think? Like, is this legit for Wilson, or is this just going to be this 2-game stretch that we look back and say, well, other than that 2-game stretch?
I know what he's going to say.
Let's be clear. The first 8 weeks of the season, not throwing more than 1 touchdown pass in any game but one and not running for a touchdown were not legit.
Yes, and
that type of thing is not the way it should be. Throwing 8 touchdown passes in 2 weeks and averaging 300 yards per game, also not legit. The answer, as almost always, is in the middle. I would expect in those better matchups, he's going to throw for around 280 yards. He's going to throw 2+ touchdowns. And at some point this season, he's going to run the ball into the end zone.
I hate agreeing with Heath, especially when he gets obnoxiously analytical, but he's 100% right. Wilson, not as good as he looked yesterday, not as bad as he looked at the beginning of the season. Heath's right. He's somewhere in the middle. And at some point this season, Heath, I agree. I think that basically the forces of logic nature dictate that Russell Wilson will get a rushing touchdown.
Well, listen, I've got good news for you, Nick. You don't have to agree with Heath. If we want to get analytical here, there's no way he's going to average around 280 yards. That is a lot for Russell Wilson.
Heath,
I said in the good matchups. You mentioned Baltimore
and Cleveland, both
coming up.
He doesn't usually throw for that many yards. He's thrown 280 yards twice this year, but, all right.
Without
Jimmy Graham, though, you know, what kind of effect does that have on this offense?
Jimmy Graham wasn't doing Jimmy Graham things.
Yeah, it was Jimmy Graham.
He wasn't leading Russell Wilson to the fantasy promised land that I had hoped that he would. So I don't feel like Jimmy Graham's going to be, he's going to be missed. But most of the things they had Graham doing, Cooper Helfelt can do. Luke Wilson can do.
Okay.
He was blocking in on pass plays.
Mm-hmm. I also don't think it won't make that big of an impact on Russell Wilson negatively.
All right, top 5 running backs yesterday. Adrian Peterson, or this week rather, not yesterday. Adrian Peterson, CJ Anderson. Man, what a story there. Spencer Ware filling in for Kendrick West and doing a great job against Buffalo. Eddie Lacy was really good on Thursday. And D'Angelo Williams, I think he only had 8 carries. He didn't do much as a rusher, but he caught a bunch of passes. He had something like 7 catches, 88 yards, and a touchdown. So D'Angelo's a top 5 running back, even in standard scoring leagues. It's Peterson, CJ Anderson, Spencer Ware, Eddie Lacy, and D'Angelo Williams. Heath, you can lead off this top 5 list.
I think we can definitely say, without question, the Chiefs are aware of how to stockpile running back depth. No. Okay. Spencer Ware, I really like
that. That was almost as bad as your pool joke a couple weeks ago. Why would that get a rim shot?
I thought I'd get a rim shot on that one.
It'd be like saying the sky's blue today, rim shot. You made an obvious statement.
He was running angry. The best thing for Spencer Ware is his remaining schedule. The Chiefs have a lot of games where, listen, I didn't think as late as 2 weeks ago that the Chiefs were anywhere close to a playoff team. I still can't believe that that's the case, but the AFC is so bad that
the Chiefs and the Texans.
It looks like it is.
Yeah.
Well, his remaining schedule, Raiders, Chargers, Ravens, Browns.
Yeah.
He might be a top 10 running back the rest of the season.
Whoa. What about Charcandrick West? What's his status?
He could be a top 10 running back too.
It's the guy who's starting for them could have a
Whoever's starting will be that.
Yeah. All right. What about CJ Anderson, guys? You know, in week 8, I believe, CJ Anderson had a big game and he scored 9 fantasy points combined over his next 3 games. So I don't want to get gaga here. Hillman had been pretty good. Yeah, it was week 8. He had 14 carries, 101 yards, and a touchdown against Green Bay, and was totally silent until this. He looked great. What do you think happens with the Broncos running backs in week 13 and going forward?
I think both guys are viable starts. And like, how about CJ Anderson finally coming through for owners? I think probably anyone that drafted him really high, it might be too late for them, but CJ looked fantastic last night. And Adam, you said it. He looked like a different player. How about that touchdown run to close out the game? It's fantastic. Like, CJ Anderson has not looked that quick and decisive all season. Ronnie Hillman also looked good yesterday. And I think the thing with this Broncos run game, now with Brock Osweiler under center passing the ball, teams have to respect that deep passing attack, which they clearly did not do when Peyton Manning was the quarterback. Osweiler was dropping some dimes yesterday. He looked really good throwing the ball down the field. Not a perfect game for Osweiler, but he's good enough at this point. And he's got the threat of throwing the ball deep to Sanders and Demaryius Thomas if Demaryius Thomas could learn how to catch the ball again. So I like both these Broncos running backs. I think both are going to be viable starts both next week against the Chargers, and I think probably moving forward over the rest of the season.
Oh man, I'm not sure I share your optimism. I still feel like if I had to choose one, it's Hillman. Okay, put it this way. I want to see one more good game from CJ Anderson before I throw him back in my lineup.
No, he's not an RB1. Like, he's not a guy that you count on for 15 points. But I think if you need him, you could do worse as an RB2 or a flex option if you need him.
Just how is this different from that game against Green Bay, where, again, he had a huge game, and then the next 3 weeks he scored 9 combined fantasy points? I feel like it's a
Peyton
real risk.
Manning's on the bench.
Okay.
I mean, you always, Adam, say that you hate it when players thrive in overtime, because if the game had ended when it was supposed to, that wouldn't even matter, right?
Oh, but he had a good game, yeah, before overtime,
well,
too.
Not counting overtime, he had 13 carries for 63 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, you're right. So it would have been a...
Heath just looked at me with the most smug look I've ever seen anyone ever give, and it was awesome.
Well, who was he smug to, me or you?
He was being smug about the comment that he made to you and was showing me, like, how pleased he was with
Heath, oh man, Heath is just like the villain of the podcast.
No, he was awesome. Not a villain at all. He's right.
I didn't say anything even kind of. I'm sorry.
No, that's
okay. It was great.
I will try to agree more often.
I just think he looked really good. He looked better than Hillman in this game, but I want to see it. I want to see it again before I consider starting him.
Like the overtime argument, but the game went to overtime.
Right.
Like it happened.
Think the reason that Adam brings that up, and I don't want to speak for Adam, but I'm going to anyway.
I would love if you did.
Okay. The reason I bring that up is when we're projecting going forward, we're going to have to project 4-quarter games.
Yeah.
We can't project 5-quarter games because most games are 4 quarters.
But things happen.
Things do happen.
You roll the dice.
But you don't want to project a player based on, but if they get to overtime,
yeah.
They might be good.
Now, the last two players that I can remember, like, really doing something huge in overtime were CJ Spiller and Jordan Matthews.
Yeah.
And they followed it up with total duds.
Yeah.
So, anyway, top 5.
I don't think correlation equals causation.
It doesn't. Top 5 wide receivers here. Doug Baldwin, Calvin Johnson, Sammy Watkins, Marcus Wheaton, and Brandon Marshall. All right, let's talk Sammy Watkins here. You know, the Chiefs had done a great job against the last 3 number one receivers they had faced, including Calvin Johnson. So Watkins comes out, has a monster game, over 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. Give me your thoughts on him rest of season, and let me get you their schedule. It's Houston, at Philadelphia, at Washington, and then Dallas before the Jets in week 17.
Spin the roulette wheel, right, with Sammy Watkins.
I get really frustrated with teams and how they use their star players. And I understand why the stars themselves get frustrated. I mean, Sammy Watkins basically says, you know, if you just give me the targets, I'm the best offensive player we have outside of maybe LeSean McCoy.
Oh, he's better than Shady.
And so you see, and this is using arbitrary endpoints, but he's had 8 targets in 3 games. In those 3 games, he's got 6 for 158 and 2 scores, 8 for 168 and 1 score, and 6 for 60 and a score.
And to your point, did they even look his way in the second half?
He had 1 target in the entire second half.
Like
one target. He had 8.
Like, this is Rex Ryan and Greg Roman coaching with their hands around their throat. Like, this is why you talk about spin the roulette wheel. If the Bills had a competent coaching staff, you knew they were going to get Sammy Watkins the ball. He's a must-start every week. But, I mean, you roll the dice with Sammy Watkins. Is he going to give you 15 points? Is he going to give you 2 points?
Well, I started him, and I knew it was a tough matchup and that he was coming off 2 bad games, but he had faced Revis and Malcolm Butler in the previous 2 games. They did a really good job on him. And I just think that he's too talented to sit, basically. You have to be really loaded at wide receiver, in my opinion.
I sat him for Jarvis Landry yesterday.
Well, you know what? You got a good production. You got a good game from Jarvis Landry.
I was devastated until about 3 o'clock on the East Coast yesterday, but it did work out.
Anyone else? We kind of talked about a lot of these guys. You make anything of the Marcus Wheaton game?
No.
I think that says more about the Seahawks secondary than it does about Marcus Wheaton or anybody else. It's so tough to attack Richard Sherman, and their second corner did a good job yesterday, so they had to lean on Wheaton.
Yeah, they benched Kerry Williams, actually. He was inactive for this game.
Jeremy Lane came through with that big interception.
Addition by subtraction?
Yeah, and so the Steelers are deep, and Ben Roethlisberger threw for the most yards ever against a Seattle Seahawks team. Doug Baldwin is 74% owned. Should we be buying his recent production?
No, you can't. You're chasing points, I think, with Doug Baldwin. I think he's a fine flex play if you really need him. Is he even on? Is he on your wide receiver 3 radar, Heath? I can tell you, me personally, I don't know how confident I would feel putting Doug Baldwin into my lineup in a game. Like, it's the last week of the regular season for most fantasy leagues coming up this week. I need to win in one of my leagues to make the playoffs. I would not feel confident putting Doug Baldwin into my lineup, even after what we saw yesterday.
No, I don't feel confident in it, but I think that he is in the wide receiver 3 discussion. I think he ranks somewhere. I haven't looked at this week's projections yet, but I'm going to guess he's somewhere in the 30s, and that's a borderline wide receiver 3.
At Minnesota this week.
I would like to think that my teams in most places are good enough that I have 3 receivers better than him.
That's,
but the fact is, there's
totally. I agree with that.
There's teams because of injuries and all these other things. There are lots of teams around the league that have Doug Baldwin's their 3rd best option.
Yeah, you could do worse than Doug Baldwin, but I mean, you can't start Doug Baldwin and expect production or even close to the production that you saw yesterday.
Top 5 tight ends in Fantasy Week 12. Julius Thomas, Antonio Gates, Rob Gronkowski, Vance McDonald, and Ryan Griffin. Any thoughts, guys?
It's so funny watching Antonio Gates because you can't...
He lumbers.
He lumbers. He can't run fast anymore.
They invented that word, I think, for Antonio Gates.
But there are still very few linebackers or safeties that can cover him one-on-one because he's so crafty. He's the guy out at the courts that has no hops. He can't outrun you. He can't defend, but he's got so many pump fakes that you cannot defend him.
He's what WWE Hall of Fame announcer Jim Ross would call a crafty veteran.
And Jamie was all over Ryan Griffin as a deep sleeper. He caught a touchdown, finishes as the number 5 tight end. You can chalk that up to the Saints. And let's get to the injuries news and notes here. So offensive lineman Mike Pouncey, the center for the Dolphins, left with a foot injury. Keep an eye on that. Lamar Miller has been struggling the last 2 weeks, and that is a bad injury for them.
And Adam, did you see the breaking news almost minutes before we started taping today?
No.
That the Dolphins fired offensive coordinator Bill Lazor. Quarterback coach Zach Taylor will take over as play caller for over the rest of the year.
Oh, really? How about that? Well, that's
and as I've said before, I would rather have sharks with laser beams on their head than Bill Lazor calling plays for my offense. So I think it can only be a good thing for Ryan Tannehill and company, and maybe probably Lamar Miller.
Kansas City's left tackle and center both left in the second half of their game at Oakland. So Heath, all the things you said about Spencer Ware / Sharkhandrick West, would you be concerned if they're down 2 offensive linemen?
I'm slightly concerned. I don't think we got a good test of what that looks like this week because everybody on Buffalo's front 7 was hurt too. Not everybody, but Kyle Williams, Mario Williams. It'll be interesting. I mean, again, you look at their schedule, there's not a lot of front 7s that are really going to test that offensive line. If anything, maybe the Chiefs' offensive line can't dominate them now. Mm-hmm. And that's why Listen, West is better in the open field. West is better at catching the ball. But running the ball between the tackles, Spencer Ware did things yesterday that Sharkhandrick West can't do.
The Broncos lost left guard Luis Vasquez with a groin injury in their game. They're at San Diego this week. And the Giants entered the game without two starting interior linemen, and they lost a third. Guard Jeff Schwartz broke his leg. They've got the Jets this week. Obviously, you don't even care about the running backs, but the pocket was collapsing. And
that was exactly 1 year to the date of when he broke his leg last year.
Oh, wow. That could be. But their offensive line is pretty terrible right now, and I think it really affected Eli Manning in this game.
The drop passes didn't help either.
Yeah, well, he was dumb in this game, too. He threw some really awful passes. We'll talk about that because he's a home road guy at this point. He's thrown 9 picks, Eli Manning, this year. 9 picks, 8 of them on the road. And now he has a quote-unquote home game against the New York Jets on Sunday. Defensively, Buffalo lost a linebacker and defensive end, Nigel Bradham and Alex Carrington. I don't know the severity of these injuries, but they were already playing without Kyle Williams and Mario Williams on the D-line, so could explain why the Chiefs had such a big game. Cincinnati linebacker Vontaze Burfict, very important player. He left with an injury. So did cornerback Chris Lewis-Harris. Luckily, they're at Cleveland this upcoming week. Justin Houston, Kansas City's talented pass rusher. He left with a sprained knee in the first quarter. Miami defensive tackles C.J. Mosley and Earl Mitchell left with injuries as if their run defense could get any worse. Ryan Shazier for Pittsburgh left with a concussion. So it was nose tackle Sylvester Williams and safety T.J. Ward for Denver leaving with injuries. They're at San Diego, as I mentioned. And the Patriots linebacker Dante Hightower left with a knee injury. And Jamie Collins has been out for, I think, 4 games now with an illness. So we hope he gets back soon. All right, FanDuel guys. Look, we've been talking about Gronk. We've been talking about Jimmy Graham. One of the best things about daily fantasy football is that you don't have to deal with lengthy injuries. So you Graham owners, Gronk owners, whoever it is, every day is a new season on FanDuel.com. You pick any tight end you want. You pick any player you want. And you play as often or as little as you'd like. No commitments on FanDuel, the leader in one-week fantasy football. And FanDuel is expecting to pay out over $2 billion this season. Now, you've seen the commercials, you've heard the stories right here on this podcast about people who took just a few bucks, turned it into thousands. That could be you. Start playing on FanDuel.com right now. Test your fantasy football knowledge. You're going to compete against thousands of others who think they know more than you. So show them what you're made of. Go to FanDuel.com, the leader in one-week fantasy football. All right, let's get to the games. Jets 38, Dolphins 20. Let's talk about Chris Ivory, guys. He had a 31-yard touchdown run. A really impressive run against a really terrible defense. But I think, you know, other than that run, it's hard to say other than that run, but really, other than that run in the last month or so, it just hasn't been that impressive. How do you feel about Chris Ivory?
I think you can say other than that run in this instance, because he was playing against a terrible run defense and he went 20 for 56 other than that run. Mm-hmm. I don't know if maybe he's not quite right. The Jets' offensive line and blocking schemes definitely aren't quite right. They're not creating the holes for him that they were earlier in the year. I was skeptical on him coming into the year because he'd never stayed healthy under a full workload, and I wasn't sure that he could. He has, maybe. Like, maybe he's hurt and he's just playing through it because he doesn't look the same.
I think if Chris Ivory could play the Dolphins every week, you would lock him in and he would be a big-time elite fantasy player. But alas, he does not play the Dolphins every week, and I'm with Heath. I just don't think that Chris Ivory, he doesn't look right, hasn't looked right for a little bit. And if you look at it, since that game against the Redskins, when he rushed for 146 yards and a touchdown, 41 yards, 17 yards, 26 yards, 99 in that Thursday night game against Buffalo, 36 yards, and then the 87 yards yesterday, of course, aided by the long touchdown run. So it's been tough sledding for quite a bit now for Chris Ivory.
Yeah, I read an article a few weeks back about how he was having a little bit of trouble dealing with all the extra attention that defenses were giving him. This week, though, at the Giants, you know, at the Giants neutral site game, let's call it, I just can't imagine benching Chris Ivory, I guess, but what would you say, like, lower your expectations?
Yeah, I don't think in most leagues I have anybody that I can bench him for. I mean, there's right. been so much running back attrition this year, it's going to be tough to bench him.
Yeah, he still gets touchdowns. How about Lamar Miller, though? So, just completely uninvolved, 8 touches. I think he had 7 carries last week. He had 5 carries this week. It's very frustrating. And Baltimore coming up, so another tough matchup. Then the schedule gets a lot better. But how concerned should Lamar Miller owners be?
Extremely.
Code red.
I can't stress enough how incompetent this Dolphins coaching staff has been all season. Even after the firing of Joe Philbin, and again, Dolphins firing Bill Lazor shortly before we hit the airwaves today. It is an atrocious situation right now in Miami. The defense is terrible. Forced to play catch up yesterday. Tannehill threw the ball over 50 times. They dropped back over 60 times to pass. It's a horrible scene right now. And Jay Ajayi had more carries yesterday than Lamar Miller. This is a team that could be evaluating at this point for next year. Maybe they want to see what Jay Ajayi has. How could you possibly feel confident in Lamar Miller at this point? You can't.
I feel like if he can get through the Ravens game, you know, as the clear-cut number one guy, and they still like him better in pass protection, I was reading that the other day, than Jay Ajayi, which makes sense. Finishing the season with the Giants, Chargers, and Colts in your fantasy playoffs could be good for Lamar Miller. But I understand the trepidation, and I'd like to see him just do something productive. Doesn't have to have a huge game, but something productive against the Ravens. Guys, what do you think about Devontae Parker? A really beautiful touchdown catch. Showed his talent there, but only caught 4 of his 10 targets, 80 yards and a touchdown for Parker, who's 7% owned. Any interest here as Rishard Matthews dealing with the chest injury?
I think Parker's a great speculative ad. If this team is looking towards the future, then they have no reason not to play Parker as many snaps as possible.
Yep. The only pause that I have about Devontae Parker is, let's see what shape this offense takes now with a new coordinator and a new play caller. But Parker did look good yesterday. It's worth noting, of course, that his touchdown came in the excesses of garbage time, and most of his damage came in garbage time. So let's see what happens this week. I don't think that you can start Devontae Parker this week, especially if Matthews is back. But as a speculative ad, yes, I think that you could, that Parker's certainly worth that if you have the roster space.
Denver 30, New England 24. The Patriots had the ball for just under 26 minutes. The Broncos had it for over 36 minutes. And Tom Brady was 80% started. He finished with 29 fantasy points. He is truly incredible and should destroy the Eagles. Any other thoughts on this game, guys? Should be a lot, actually.
How about Demaryius Thomas doing his best Jordan Matthews impersonation? I mean, Thomas got paid, and now he looks like a soft player. And I don't know how else to say it. He's not fighting for footballs. He's not coming back to footballs. He's not fighting through defenders to get footballs. He was horrible last night.
Yeah, he was.
And I want to be clear. Like, this is not hyperbole. He was horrendous last night.
Well, Nick,
and it looked like the effort wasn't there for Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, look, he didn't.
And that's exacerbated by how well Emmanuel Sanders plays, and Emmanuel Sanders plays with extreme effort. And I don't think I'm off base in saying Demaryius Thomas was a train wreck last night.
No, well, he didn't catch any of his first 10 targets, so I think it's hard to disagree with you. I don't know if I'm just being a loser and making an excuse for him, but I really think he struggled with his footing in the snow. Like, he couldn't come back on the football. He looked really affected by it.
What about Emmanuel Sanders?
Yeah, no, Sanders played a lot better. Sanders
Demaryius Thomas was the only guy that played in the snow yesterday. I mean, he was terrible. He was terrible.
He was, you know,
and the effort wasn't there. That's the thing Heath, you watched the game last night. You saw the game last night. The effort was not there with Demaryius Thomas. It looked like he couldn't wait to get inside, wrap up in a blanket, take a sip of warm cup of cocoa, and forget that game ever happened.
It did look like it was pretty cold. And has he always worn one glove? Like, he was wearing one glove for a while last night. Maybe he lost one of his gloves.
That could have, maybe that threw him off.
His best Michael Jackson impersonation.
I did see, I don't remember who said it on Twitter, but so sorry if it was you. But I did see someone make a very good joke. Someone asked, why is Demaryius Thomas wearing one glove? And they said he dropped the other one.
That was me. I made that joke.
Was it really?
No, it was not me, but I wish I had. That's a very
It
funny
would have
joke.
Been a good one. I thought it sounded too funny to be you.
That's a low blow, dude. If anything, I'm funny. I won most humorous in eighth grade. We've already established.
Here we go.
We've already established my high school popularity, but I won most humorous in eighth grade. So keep that in mind. We had about 50 kids in eighth grade. So Brandon LaFell is not having a good year. He's just not doing anything. He has one game with more than six fantasy points out of six games in standard scoring leagues. Is Brandon LaFell droppable to you?
I don't think he's droppable just because of all the injured players that have dropped out of the Patriots lineup because they're hurt. At this point, you know, if Amendola doesn't play on Sunday, if Gronk doesn't play on Sunday, I mean, Tom Brady's got to throw the ball to somebody. And look, LaFell had a really bad drop in yesterday's game, and he has not been great. but I don't think that you can afford to drop Brandon LaFell, not yet at least. I mean, let's wait to see what happens with Gronk's MRI, wait for some Amendola injury news. At this point, I would still hold on to Brandon LaFell. The Patriots need someone they can throw the ball to deep, so I think that he needs to stay on rosters at this point.
And Andre Caldwell has caught a touchdown in two of three games with Brock Osweiler, but not getting enough targets, not getting enough yards. Kansas City 30 and Buffalo 22. Tyrod Taylor had a monster game. Let's talk about Tyrod Taylor and Brock Osweiler and Alex Smith. Osweiler didn't put up huge fantasy numbers. They ran for touchdowns, but he played pretty well. Those three guys, Taylor, Alex Smith, Brock Osweiler, if you were going to speculate on a quarterback, who would it be?
There's no question for me. It's Tyrod Taylor. We know who and what Alex Smith is, and I've talked plenty about this Chiefs upcoming schedule and how easy it is, and that's not good for Alex Smith.
No.
Good schedules mean conservative game plans, and there's just no way.
You saw where his points came yesterday when they were down and chasing points.
Right, and that, we'll get more on that in just a minute, I have a feeling. But it's Taylor by a pretty safe margin over those two for me.
I think Tyrod Taylor's not very good. And I know he had a good fantasy game yesterday, chucking it up to Sammy Watkins. Give me Brock Osweiler. I'll take Osweiler over both those guys. I like Osweiler's weapons better. I think he's in a better situation. I lean towards Osweiler over Tyrod Taylor, and certainly over Alex Smith.
Well, I will take Osweiler this week, Heath, because Taylor has Houston, and Osweiler has San Diego on the road. But Taylor does have Philadelphia and Washington in his following two games.
And I'll go on record as saying right now, I think it's going to be a low-scoring game between the Bills and the Texans. I know that's not exactly the film at 11. I think the Bills will win the game, but I think it'll be low-scoring, and that could be a matchup where you want to avoid players in that game.
Heath, both Jeremy Maclin and Travis Kelce caught touchdowns, and I was talking about Maclin being droppable in some leagues because he just had been really terrible. Three combined fantasy points in his last two games before yesterday, five straight games with less than 10 in standard scoring leagues, and then he has this monster game. But anyway, Maclin and Kelce both caught touchdowns.
Well, I'm glad that Travis Kelce celebrated touchdown regression week, and we appreciate him being a part of it. He was due, and he got one. He was also, the Bills decided not to cover him once in the red zone. Like, literally, they did not have anyone cover him, and he ran into the end zone unabated.
Bold strategy.
It was a good strategy, because Alex Smith never looked at him. And so, that worked out okay. Jeremy Maclin's a guy I want to talk about, because I've seen some stuff, and I had a discussion on Twitter earlier today about some people talking about, you know, Maclin's actually been having a pretty decent year. And you said he was droppable after that bad stretch. Well, what did that bad stretch have in common?
They were winning.
The Chiefs, what's that?
Right. They were winning and they were not throwing that much.
Right. He has had Jeremy Maclin 34 targets with the lead this year, 20 run receptions for 196 yards and a touchdown. That's less than 10 yards per reception. It's just a bunch of dink and dunks, which is what Alex Smith does. When they've been behind, he's had 36 targets this year, 28 receptions for 501 yards and two touchdowns. The Chiefs play the Raiders, the Chargers, the Ravens, and the Browns. How much of those four games do you expect them to be playing from behind?
Well, I'm not going to support Jeremy Maclin, but let me just ask a question in response to your theory. Alex Smith only threw 30 passes in this game, so what does that mean to you? It's not like he was chucking it 40 times.
No, he doesn't have to chuck it 40 times. What it is he's not going to take any risks if they have a lead.
Okay, gotcha.
He will throw the ball deep to Maclin. He will force it into coverage to Maclin if they have to, if they're behind and they have to move the ball. The other thing I've seen is, well, since Jamal Charles has been gone, he played four and a half games, four and three quarters games with Charles. He had 35 catches for 460 yards. Mm-hmm. He's played five and a half, six games without Charles, 22 catches for 311 yards.
Okay, that's good stuff on Jeremy Maclin. Let's go to Houston, New Orleans. Houston 24, New Orleans 6, and the Texans had the ball for 36 minutes, 23 seconds. The Saints only had it for 23:37. Major takeaways from this game, guys?
Well, you were not allowed to have any major takeaways from the Texans because what happens against New Orleans stays against New Orleans. I thought the Texans' defense looked really good. Drew Brees did not. They've got to get the ball to Mark Ingram more. Mark Ingram's one of, if not their, most talented offensive weapon.
Only 6 yards per carry yesterday, but why give him the ball?
Well, they were trailing, and they only ran the ball 10 times all game, and they barely had the ball. They had it for less than 24 minutes.
Well, they're not getting 6 yards per pass attempt, so maybe they should just keep running.
They should definitely get back to the ground game. They have Carolina though this week. Hard to sit Mark Ingram. Their schedule gets easier after that. Well, actually, for Ingram, they're really not great matchups. So I don't really think it matters for him. He's so good. Hoyer, I know a lot of people started Brian Hoyer, and he only scored 18 fantasy points, but he played really well. I mean, 21 of 27, two touchdowns. They just blew him out. You know, it wasn't a competitive game. I think if it were a more competitive game, you would have gotten better stats from Hoyer and DeAndre Hopkins. You guys feeling that?
Yeah, I think both of them were hurt by the game script. I do not want to get through recapping a New Orleans game without giving the listeners what they crave, and that is the Mark Ingram, CJ Spiller update. Ingram now with 46 receptions on the year, Spiller with 28.
Yeah, and Ingram had six catches for 45 yards in this game. He actually had a 97 total yard game. It's not bad there. Anyway,
right, maybe give him the ball more.
They sure do. Oakland 24, Tennessee 21, and another big time of possession game as the Raiders had the ball for almost 10 minutes more than the Titans. And by the way, the Titans got kind of screwed on that call there, that defensive holding call. That was a bad call.
We'll talk about that later on the Sportsline podcast.
Yeah, and actually this was like one of the first times I can ever remember saying, wow, the Patriots got really hosed by the referees, so they probably should have won that game if not for some bad calls. Anyway, Nick, what are your major takeaways from Oakland 24, Tennessee 21?
Other than the fact that I'm still not over my Titans plus 1.5 pick on Sportsline. Other than that, Derek Carr, ton of moxie down the stretch of this game. Even with the phantom holding call, Carr did have to get the ball into the end zone, and he did. And he was fantastic again yesterday. Over 300 yards, three touchdowns. I think Carr has clearly placed himself in the top echelon of fantasy quarterbacks. He's a guy that I'm starting in a couple leagues here in must-win games coming up in week number 13. Would have liked to have seen more involvement from Michael Crabtree, but Seth Roberts really emerging as well. Crabtree did reach the end zone. Disappointing game for Latavius Murray, as he has not been great as of late. And for Tennessee, man, just a dumpster fire. Mariota, some really bad interceptions. I mean, who is he throwing to on the final possession of the game there under a minute left? Threw the ball to the two people, both of which were wearing silver and black, neither of which was wearing the Tennessee Titans uniform. That was pretty bad. And I guess my other takeaway would be Antonio Andrews, I think, you know, we're a little concerned if you were an Andrews owner with David Cobb being activated off IR, but Andrews again, dominated the snaps at the running back position over Cobb and the awful, atrocious Bishop Sankey. And coming up this week, another game against the Jaguars. Remember, they played a couple weeks ago, and Andrews had a pretty decent game there. So I think you can count on Antonio Andrews if you need him, and that is a home game for Tennessee coming up against the Jaguars.
Well, you can count on him to get the ball. I don't know that you can count on him to do anything productive with it, which has been, unfortunately, the same thing with Latavius Murray. How does he have 22 carries and not top 60 yards? This Oakland run attack is bad, and the Titans' defense has been decent. I do have one more question about this game because I don't have a lot to say about it. I think Nick pretty well just covered it. The other thing we have to update every week, I think we need a DGB bandwagon update.
Oh, the DGB bandwagon. It's been in ashes on the side of the road.
Okay.
It was Molotov cocktailed a couple weeks ago.
Jamie pointed out that Latavius Murray's really struggled without his center, Rodney Hudson, who's missed a few games here, and Murray's been terrible without Hudson in the lineup. Colts 25 and Tampa Bay 12. Any major takeaways from this game, guys?
The Nick Costos I Was Wrong tour about Matt Hasselbeck continues for another week. He's been fantastic. And I think the thing that you really have to feel good about is if you're a T.Y. Hilton owner this morning, Hilton really exploded yesterday. Six catches, 95 yards, a couple touchdowns. Dante Moncrief had a bunch of targets, over 100 yards receiving. The run game, not great for Indy yesterday. I think Gore was at 19 for 24, which is obviously not great. But the Colts with Hasselbeck, the offense is decent. He's finding his weapons. I think that you should feel decent today if you're a Hilton owner, if you're a Moncrief owner, that Hasselbeck's got the goods to get these guys the ball, and he is undefeated right now as the Colts starter. That does not mean that Andrew Luck should not get the job when he's healthy again, but worth noting that he has played very well.
Go ahead.
I just want to say Matt Hasselbeck, 17, 20, 16, and 24 fantasy points in his four starts, and at Pittsburgh, at Jacksonville, two teams that rank in the bottom seven,
incredible,
bottom eight against quarterbacks, but I really like, let's just skip to Frank Gore. I'm gonna have to speed this up so we can get to the other games. Frank Gore, yeah, 19 for 24 yards per carry in his last four games, 3.2, 3.0, 2.4, and 1.3 against teams that are playing the run very well: Carolina, Denver, Atlanta, and Tampa Bay. This week, though, he gets a team that's still number one in fantasy points allowed to running backs, Pittsburgh. So, you know, it's just not looking good right now for Frank Gore. I'm surprised. I was hoping for a big finish. What about you guys?
No, I was not hoping for a big finish. He, for the most part, this is what you expect to happen with running backs that are of the age of Frank Gore. I mean, the thing we were hoping was Andrew Luck from the past, and the passing game was so good that people couldn't put more than six or seven in the box ever. Gore would have huge holes, and I still believe Frank Gore can run downhill, see a hole, and go through it. I don't know that he can do much else besides that.
Well, tough to trust him, but I don't know. He's got Miami in week 16. That's pretty much the only thing I'm hopeful for right now. San Diego 31 and Jacksonville 25. Blake Bortles scored 26 fantasy points. TJ Yeldon was the start of the week, and they just did not give him the ball enough. Season low in carries. Gore, Lamar Miller. What's the
you deal? Have a team that's. I'd rather have Yeldon. You have a team that's really bad. That's even worse in the red zone.
Yeah.
The one thing you're not doing in the red zone, or not trying, is giving the ball to TJ Yeldon in the red zone. Maybe you could stop kicking field goals and turning the ball over in the red zone if you just give the ball to your best running back. They do these stupid things, bringing Denard Robinson into the game, or Toby Gerhardt, or whoever else even exists in that backfield. Give the ball to TJ Yeldon. TJ Yeldon and Doug Martin from our last game were two guys that were invited to touchdown regression week. They were not able to attend, but they will be invited again next week.
Well, Doug Martin did have one called back.
Yeah, so. That makes you feel a lot better.
Yeah, so that should make you feel better. All right, anything from this game here? How good do you think Julius Thomas is going to be rest of the season, especially if Allen Hurns doesn't play in some upcoming games?
Julius Thomas, I think he's going to be pretty good over the rest of the season. Why do I think that? Because he's been good over the stretch of his career. And obviously a slow start to the season with the injury. I think his rapport with Bortles wasn't quite there. We've talked about that on the various shows here on CBSSports.com and on the podcasts. I like Julius Thomas quite a bit. I think he's firmly in the tight end one conversation. Forget about it in the conversation. He is a tight end one at this point. I think he's someone that you can start with confidence over the rest of the year.
Rest of season, Julius Thomas or Antonio Gates?
Julius Thomas.
Heath?
I'll go Gates.
All right. Washington 20 and the Giants 14. Washington had the ball for 36 minutes, the Giants for 24 minutes. And yeah, Eli Manning, 18 fantasy points, despite a 321-yard, 2-touchdown game. 8 of his 9 interceptions have come on the road. He's at Miami in week 14. He's at Minnesota in week 16. He's interesting rest of the season. I don't know that there's much. Oh, actually one very interesting note, because I said, and Jamie and Dave reflected in their rankings, that DeSean Jackson should not be started this week because Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie absolutely owns DeSean Jackson, and it continued in this game. DeSean Jackson had one catch for 3 yards until Rodgers-Cromartie left with an injury, and then on basically like the next play, 63-yard touchdown pass with Rodgers-Cromartie on the sideline. He came back in the game eventually, and that was the last catch that DeSean Jackson made. So anyway, Pierre Garçon, 72% owned. You can drop him. Other takeaways from this game, Alfred Morris had almost all the carries.
We found out that the Giants are not good enough to sleepwalk through three quarters and still beat the Redskins.
That's true.
And it looked like they might when they scored, when Beckham had that outrageous catch to make it 20-14. I thought the Giants were going to come back and win.
Kirk Cousins at home. Heath, you buy into Kirk Cousins at home? He's had 23, 35, 26, and 24 fantasy points in his last four home games. All of them good matchups, though. Dallas is much better this week at home.
No, I don't buy into it. I do not want to start Kirk Cousins in the last week of the fantasy regular season against the Dallas Cowboys. He will let you down, and you will not like that.
And the Cowboys will win that game, and Kirk Cousins will not do much.
We had Cincinnati 31 and St. Louis 7. Question from this game, Todd Gurley. Are you worried about him? He has a brutal schedule coming up, and his last four games, 3.7, 3.8, 2.6, and 2.1 yards per carry.
The nice thing about this is it might be lowering his average draft position for next year. It's possible. Listen, Todd Gurley's coming off an injury. This is his first season in the NFL. He doesn't play for a good team.
Rookie
He's
wall.
Rowing against Matt. He may have hit the rookie wall, and I don't think anybody should blame him if he is.
Yeah, and it's that quarterback situation, I mean, is disgusting beyond, like, Nick Foles and Case Keenum. Nick Foles is horrible.
He is.
I mean, brutal. And he was benched for Case Keenum. How do we expect Todd Gurley to have any success when his quarterbacks are Nick Foles and Case Keenum? They have no weapons in the passing attack. Tavon Austin's decent, I guess. Jeff Fisher cursing at reporters after every, seemingly every week. Jeff Fisher's getting into it with somebody. What a disaster. You know what I look forward to next year? Todd Gurley being the centerpiece of the Los Angeles Rams. No more rookie wall, year number two. I would take Todd Gurley first overall in fantasy leagues next year. Am I worried about him over the rest of the year? Sure. You know, is he going to be elite, elite fantasy running back? Who the hell knows what the Rams are going to trot out there from on a week-to-week basis? But Todd Gurley should absolutely still be in lineups, no question about it.
Is Matt Ryan droppable as we move to Minnesota 20, Atlanta 10?
So it really depends on who else you got.
I can't drop Matt Ryan with Tampa Bay and Jacksonville, especially if my playoffs go to week 17 and he gets to play the Saints. He's bad right now. I don't believe that he's like turned into a bad quarterback forever, but he is in a terrible funk.
He's a bad quarterback right now.
And it almost seems like he's doing a little bit of what happened with Matthew Stafford, and I have to believe some of this is coaching.
Have
Julio Jones on your team. Force the ball to him. I don't care if there's two guys covering him. Throw the ball up to him and let Julio make plays. Stop throwing the ball to guys that are going to bounce it off their hands and into defenders' hands.
Is Stephon Diggs droppable?
I don't think he's droppable, but I mean, I think it's pretty clear that he wasn't going to be the player that he was during that stretch that he had in the middle of the season.
And we have two more games here. Do you have any thoughts on Arizona, San Francisco, and or Seattle, Pittsburgh? Oh, we've talked about that game quite a bit. Arizona, San Francisco, Seattle, Pittsburgh.
I'll say it again. If Garrett Celek does not play this week, and you're a Rob Gronkowski or a Jimmy Graham owner, and you're in a deep league, and there are not a lot of options out there, I would look into picking up Vance McDonald, who saw a number of targets again from Blaine Gabbert. It's a new quarterback there. 6 catches, 71 yards, and a touchdown. Am I saying that he's the second coming of Brent Jones? I'm not saying that. But I think that if you need him, if you owned Gronk or you owned Graham and there's no one else out there, I would look into picking up Vance McDonald. And as for the Arizona Cardinals, I think that they will be just fine. Do not panic over the poor showing yesterday on offense.
The Seattle-Pittsburgh game just leads me to something I should have said earlier when talking about Tom Brady. Big Ben and Tom Brady were two quarterbacks that several of us were not enthused about playing because of terrible matchups. I think Jamie had Hoyer above Brady in his rankings. I said I'd rather start Hoyer over Ben Roethlisberger. I always try so hard not to bench elite players regardless of matchup. And I think this is another instance where you just don't do that.
Well, I think that with Brady, it was not just the matchup. It was the fact that Deion Lewis was out and Amendola was out and Edelman
right.
was out.
He's Tom Brady, though.
Right,
yeah,
right.
But he had scored 21 fantasy points or less in 3 straight weeks going into this game. So
but
I think
he's
it
Tom
is,
Brady.
Yeah, but it's quite shocking that he scored 29 or whatever it was fantasy points.
Is it?
Every
I
one of those so. 21 or less besides one would have still outscored what Hoyer did this week.
Yeah, I don't regret it at all. If I didn't have Brady in any leagues, but if I would have benched him for Hoyer, and I don't regret it at all. Hoyer played really well. I think he could have had a monster game if the game
I think you should regret that.
I was really
surprised.
We're not
surprised. Talking about Ryan Tannehill. We're talking about Tom Brady.
I understand that, but we're also talking about a guy who, you know, what we've seen in the past few years is when his weapons have been limited, he has been a good but not great fantasy option, and we've seen it really in the last 3 games before this past week. He's been a good but not great fantasy option, and that's
you
what I expected.
You couldn't pay me to bench Tom Brady for Brian Hoyer.
Could have paid me. I would have done it for free. All right, guys. We'll end it on that note. Emails tomorrow at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Looking forward to talking about Blaine Gabbert and other quarterbacks you could pick up off the waiver wire. And I think the other positions might be a little bit more interesting. So, Heath and Nick, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Yay!
Talk to you later, brother.
Goodbye.
All right, I'm Adam Azer. Talk to you tomorrow.